So I'm going to do something with you I have only ever done once before, and I'm going to do it in 45 minutes. It took me 4 days last time I did it. And people paid a lot of money for it, and I'm quite serious. I have been asked numerous times, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm an international speaker and best-selling author, and I've been asked numerous times to teach people how to speak and how to present, and I've only ever done it once, and it was just recently up here on the coast, and it was a four-night course. So, if I was to tell you some of the things I'm going to tell you now, I'm serious, I could charge you a lot of money for it, but I'm going to spill you some secrets so that if you are asked to speak to a group of people, this is some of the things that you, some of the things, and I've been doing this for like 10 years, so it's different. Now, let me explain something. There's a difference between doing a presentation and a difference between training, okay? So when David and I are working with you, Antonia, we're training you. So that's a different style of speaking. But when you're doing a presentation, it's all on you. There's no, breathing or relaxing or whatever. You've got to get your point across, and that's a whole different type of presentation. So what I'm going to do in the next 45 minutes with you is I'm actually going to give you a whole heap of tips and things on how to present, but I'm also going to do a little presenting as well, but I'm also going to be training you. So I'm actually going to be swapping hats. Okay? Is that alright? Are we good? Okay, how many of you have been asked to do a presentation in front of a group, even if it's a small group of people? Okay, let me ask you, how many of you does that absolutely freak you out? Yeah, okay, good. All right, well, one of the ways you get over fear is by practice and knowing how to actually handle it. So I'm going to do this in two parts. I'm going to actually give you information on how to present and speak and things like that, and then I'm going to give you information on how to actually prepare your talk. Is that okay? Sound good? Everybody nod yes.
Yes.
Okay. So when you're presenting, you want to get the audience engaged, and you'll see David and I do this all the time. So do things like this. Say yes. Yeah, see? Okay, see how I got you to do that. All right? So you've got to be completely in charge and completely prepared to command the room. So let's start there. When you're speaking, you are completely in control or not. And it totally depends on you. So if I asked you all, let's just do this. Could you all stand up for a moment, please? Could you all stand up, please? Turn to the person next to you and say, she just made me do that because she can. I had no reason whatsoever to get you up there, okay? But I did because I can. I am in control of this room. And I know I'm in control of this room because I'm really comfortable with being in control of this room. But let me give you a little disclaimer. With control comes great responsibility. Great responsibility. I can take you wherever I want you to go within, probably I can take you where you don't want to go. And I have done that with rooms where I want to move them and shift them into a different place. But you have great responsibility when you stand in front of people, because when you stand in front of a group, even if it's two people, you are the expert and you have credibility because you are on that position. You are on the stage, you are in front of people, whatever it is, even if you're sitting at a table doing a presentation, you are in charge and you have great responsibility. Who's got their phone
on? That's fine.
Okay. Sorry. All right, that's okay. All right, so a couple of things. You need to establish your credibility before you go on the stage, and I'm going to use the word stage. So this is my stage today, all right? But whatever it is, you need to establish your credibility beforehand. And the only way you do that is to know that you are credible. That's your credibility, all right? But here are some actual tips. The first thing is that you need a good introduction, all right? Now, there are two ways to be introduced. The first way is to have actually somebody introduce you. If you are having somebody introduce you, you must control that introduction. Okay, that's allowed, it's legitimate, because you want them to establish your credibility. Now, the more credible that person is with the group that they are introducing you to, then the more credibility you will have because you are standing in their credibility. Okay, so they set your credibility up, and then you write off their credibility as well. So when I introduced Tonia yesterday, because David and I are the founders of the Institute and we said Tonia is coming on board as a trainer, that was my subtle way of establishing her credibility behind ours and allowing her to write on it. Do you understand? Okay, so write your introduction, hand it to someone and say to them, you need to repeat this word for word, you need to read this. And your introduction only needs to be very short. Your introduction, if someone is presenting you, is Rosemary comes to us tonight. And you know what, here's the thing, right? You never ever mention your name until the very end. So our speaker tonight is an amazing business person. They've spent years building their business, they have a great story to tell, and I'm hoping they might actually share a little bit of it, setting you up, right? Especially if you're gonna share your story, setting you up. And they have something that will change your lives, and I'm so excited because it's actually changed mine, if they've already got a testimonial with you, okay? Make sure that they put that in. You know, this person changed my whole financial future, and I'm really, really excited because I know that if you listen to them, they're going to change yours. Please welcome to the stage, or to the front, or to the room, or whatever, Carol Mose, Bernie, Bree, whatever, okay? Do you get that? So it's very short, but it establishes your credibility. Now, the other thing is you have to establish your own credibility. Now, it is actually much easier if someone introduces you, but if they botch up the introduction or they don't do it well or whatever, you still have to establish your own credibility. So the second way you establish credibility is actually to introduce yourself. And you do that by establishing your credibility through your story. All right? It's lovely to see you all writing notes. Okay. Another thing about presentation, I'll come back to the story thing a little later. Another thing about presentation is you only have a very small amount of time, like a couple of seconds, to actually make an impression. So if you walk on the stage like this, oh my goodness, I'm scared, whatever, what impression is that going to give people?
Not much.
It's actually going to tell them that you're not sure of yourself, you're not confident, and they're going to actually think that whatever you say is not true. All right? So you have to stand tall. Everybody stand up.
Stand up.
Come on. All right, here we go. So I want you to stamp your left foot down and your right foot down, put your shoulders back. That's how you stand. Okay? So you stand like a tree. You anchor yourself. And be confident. Even if you don't feel confident, walk onto a stage, go on, put your left foot down, your right foot down, doesn't have to be a stamp, and just and smile.
Yep.
Now you can all sit down. Because when you smile, people go, oh, they're friendly. Oh, they're nice. Whatever, okay? All right, smile goes a long way through your whole presentation. Yes, right.
What about when you're sitting in a circle?
If you're sitting in a circle, same thing. Walking, come to the circle confidently. If you're already there when people start coming in, stand up, shake their hands, introduce yourself, whatever. Last night, when your spouses came to the dinner, what did I do?
I met them all.
I went to them and I said, hi, I'm Jenny. And Alan said, I'm Alan. Actually, I said, hello, Mr. Mose.
That's right.
And he went, I'm Alan, call me Alan. And I'm right, got it. And I didn't do it because I wanted to get him. I did it because I know that it's important that your spouses feel comfortable with David and I. That helps your business. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Excellent. All right, so here's a couple of other things. The colour you wear is really important. And you will notice that we wear a lot of blue and black. Okay? The colour blue is the colour of trust, particularly navy blue. So if you're doing a presentation, and if you look... There's five colours that are really trustworthy colours, and blue is the best. Any shade of blue is good, but royal blue, which is not an easy colour to get in clothing. But what am I wearing today?
Black.
No, that's blue.
Come
on, guys. Look at it. Okay. All right, and if you ever take notice of me when I'm speaking, now I know you guys, so technically my credibility is established. If I haven't established it with you, well then I'm not going to probably, it's going to be hard for me to get it back, quite frankly. So you either like me or you don't like me, and that's okay, but I've done my best to establish my credibility. But I did that on day one of the training, and I wore blue. very deliberately, on not yesterday, but on the first day of your training. That's when I established it, all right? So blue is the colour of trust. So if you are going to present, that's the colour that it's best for you to wear. If not, go with white or cream. Purple is another one, pink is another one, and the other one is black, okay? All right, we're good with that? All right, so that's what you wear. And the other thing is you need to be well presented. So you need to have your hair done. Please excuse mine, it's frizzy, but you all know that I have frizzy hair now because you've seen it. but the thing is you need to be well presented. You need to make sure that, you know, your shoes are shiny or whatever. And the other thing is, girls, I'm going to give you a couple of tips because it's really easy for the guys. They just wear a pair of pants and a shirt, and they look pretty smiffy. They don't have to get stressed about their hair or anything like that. Girls, do not wear lots of jewelry, okay? Because if it's bangling and jangling and stuff like that, it's really, really distracting. So you be very careful about how much jewelry you wear. Don't show your cleavage. And for your first meetings, it's better if you can to cover your shoulders. And I know that sounds weird, but you don't want someone sitting there going, "Oof." Don't wear short skirts if you're going to wear a skirt. Those are pretty common sense things, but one of the things about your presentations, and this is a really, really big deal, okay, so make sure you write this down. When you present, everything you do is about removing a distraction. You want to remove every distraction you can. So if they're distracted by your cleavage or some jewelry swishing it now, how about this? Is that annoying you? How many of you have noticed this today? Yep, right. Okay, point made. I'm going to put it back on later anyway. But point made, do you see? So some things that might not be distracting to you, but they are to the person sitting next to you. So you need to remove as much as you can that is a distraction. Okay? And that just doesn't go for your actual presentation. It goes for things like the way you speak, the way you enter. If you trip, that's a distraction. The way you're introduced, that's a distraction, or can be. Alright? So the whole thing you're doing is about removing the distractions. When you walk into a room, I'll give you an example. When you walk into a room, for example, in a new house, like you're looking at a house, right? And it's nicely presented, and you know it's nicely presented, and you kind of get that sense that it's nicely presented. You think, I could live here. But you walk into the dining room, and something's not quite right, but you don't know what it is, but you know something's not quite right. You feel a little bit off, and you keep going. That's a distraction. You know what was probably off? There's probably a dining chair that wasn't placed quite precisely to the dining table. Okay? That's what it'll be. That's a distraction. And it'll be such a small thing. But what it does is it grabs people and it distracts them. And so they're going, I don't know if I like this room. And that can lose you a sign. Okay? And even when you're talking, you're removing the distraction. So when Tonya talks, she doesn't talk about being quiet. She made that mistake. First or second call? Doesn't do it again. So that's a distraction. Alright? So you don't want to talk about being a pilot when you're attempting to be a spending planner because that's a distraction. Because their mind goes off on this and they're like, oh, they're not a pilot. And all of a sudden they're over here instead of paying attention to you. Okay? Got that? Alright, so what do you have to do? Remove
distractions.
Okay. Alright, another thing is, if you're asked to speak, you need to start on time and you need to end on time. You will not be asked back again if you go over time, especially if you're being paid. And quite frankly, you're being paid. Because if you're doing a presentation about spending planning, then even if you don't get paid a fee to do that talk, you will be being paid because you will be attempting to get clients. So you are being paid for that talk. So you want to make sure that you become best buddies with your event coordinator, that you absolutely are not a drama queen or a drama king, and that you are easygoing to get on with, that you turn up early, that you have it all sussed out, and that you end right on time. If they say you've got 10 minutes, it's 10 minutes. But it's not 10 minutes, it's 9 and a half, and you sit down at 9 and a half. And that's how you get a reputation for being asked back again, okay? So time is very, very important. And you'll notice here, I'm always going, come on guys, let's stand time. Because if I go over time, that actually affects the next segment. Alright? So it's very important that you stay on time. I'll tell you a very quick story about this. I had to speak in Adelaide, and we lived in Brisbane at the time. And I had to speak that night at a massive property conference. And so I got to the airport in the morning to catch a plane to LA with hours and hours to spare. And there was a problem. We couldn't fly out of Brisbane. And I was watching the time tick away, and I was just dressed quite casually for the plane flight because my plan was to get there, have time to change, do the makeup, the hair, and everything like that. Well, we ended up getting on that flight, and I'm sitting there, and now I'm stressed. Is that a good position to be presenting from? No, so there's another clue for you. Be calm. Be ready. Take some time out before you talk and just, you know, make sure you're quiet and well-paced. So here I am sitting on a plane, and I don't know how long it's a flight, 3 hours or something. And the whole way there, I'm actually calculating, and I'm like, we're going to land at, and I'd already told the people who were picking me up, and by the time I get in the car and get to the venue, I'm literally going to be walking on stage. Now, I'm not ready. I'm not dressed. My clothes are in a bag underneath the plane, so I've got to get my check-in luggage off. And now, if I'd have had that, I could have got ready at the airport before I got on the plane, as best I could, because you want to be careful about your clothes. So I'm sitting there. So this is what happened. I got to Adelaide, I grabbed my bag, I went to the nearest toilet, which was handicapped, but I needed room to get changed, so I grabbed it. I'm in there, I'm telling the people, one of them's standing there waiting for me while the other's driving around the airport. I get dressed, I put my makeup on in the car, which is not an easy feat when you're travelling and you're trying to put powder and stuff on. And then I go there and I walk in, and the coordinator knows I'm you know, delayed today. So I get there and I literally, and that's on stage, and that's it, right? So now I'm an experienced speaker. I can handle that. But if you're not experienced, and I don't think many of you probably have that experience, then you need to make sure you give yourself time. So now if I'm going to speak somewhere like that, I'm very careful about going the day before, etc. Alright, that's very important. So make sure you give yourself time. Most of you will probably just speak in your local area, but you need to allow for traffic and accidents and things like that. And you need to be able to walk in there, have time to be calm, go and sit somewhere, you know, that's away from everybody, and just calm yourself down. It's too late then to be thinking about your talk. You need to have it all ready to go, and you need to be practiced with it before you step on that stage. Back to the presentation. So I've talked to you about the colour. Smiling is really important. And the other thing is you need to use pause. One of the biggest things that people do when they get on the stage is that they think they just have to keep on talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, and they want to get a light for their nerves and alright? So if you sing a piece of music, there's a break at the end of each phrase, and we take a breath, correct? Now, I'm not a singer, okay, but I do know that much. And it's the same with speaking. We speak in sentences with commas and semicolons, and we make points. You need to learn to be comfortable with silence. Write that down. See how I'm using it now? You're all paying attention to me. Much attention to me. Because I'm using silence. Now, I am going really fast today because I've got a lot I want to tell you. But I will stop and pause when I need to make my point. Okay? Right, so make sure you pause. Don't be afraid of silence. Sometimes you have to throw something out there and people will go, now they won't physically do it, but you can see it in their faces or their eyes often or their body language, and it grabs them. And you've got to let that settle with them so that they can then move on to hear what you've got to say next. The other thing is with your voice, and this is fine for guys, but girls, same thing. You need to modulate your voice. And even guys, you can't go up and down. So girls, just need to tone your voice and keep it in a mid-range, or if you can, lower it a bit, all right? So when I was a kid, we moved from the country in New South Wales, and I'm in the country, and I spoke like a bushwhacker. And I came to this school, and I sat in front of all these people, and I thought I could win a speech competition. See where I'm going with this? So I had a great talk. I can remember how it started. The words were really, really good. It started with, I love a sunburned country, blah, 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 you know the poem. And I stood up there and I gave it all I've got. I was 14 years old. And afterwards I was told that I would never make it as a speaker because I spoke like a country bumpkin. I fixed it. Okay? Now, being a country bumpkin is actually part of my personality. So I've kept part of it. I've kept some of that personality of being a country kid and all the rest of it. And I use it to present and to be a personality. And that's what you need to do. You need to find what's unique to you and use it. But don't use it to the point where it's a distraction. Okay? So you need to make that a very clear It needs to be very clear with you how much you use it and what you don't use. And that actually brings me to my next point, which is that you need to use your personality. So there's no way I could stand up here like this and go, ladies and gentlemen, today we are going to talk about presentation secrets. I recently spoke to our large women's conference, I don't know, there's 300 or 400 people in the room, in Tasmania, and I was paid a lot of money to go there and just do, it was lovely, a 40-minute talk. And I had a wonderful time with that because I really like those types of talks. But the speaker, there were three keynote speakers that day, myself and two others, and we were all women because it was a women's conference. And one of the speakers had a totally different style to me. And so she went up on the stage, which was all set up for her, and she had this chair, and she had a really quiet voice. And she sat there like this. And she opened a book and she read a story. It was one of the best done talks I've ever seen, but I couldn't do it. There's no way I could sit up there and read a story the way she did. Well, I probably could.
You probably
could. because I can do whatever I want to do and I'm capable of doing that, but it's not who I am. And I'm finding myself trying to bust out because that's what I'm like, okay? So I started the conference and here am I, like this, and then along comes her. But you know what? It was really powerful because she stood in who she was, all right? And I actually thought it was remarkable and I really admired it because I know I couldn't do that the way she did it, and that's really good. But the thing I admire most is she sat in who she was, and she told her story and put her points across in her personality, in her nature. She's a very shy person. Like she wouldn't, you know. I'm out there and I will meet people and I'll talk and all the rest of it. Not her. Straight to the green room. Oh yeah, we have green rooms. Straight to the green room, and that was it. You know, I mean, I had to go looking to say, oh man, I really, really enjoyed that. Thank you so much for sharing, you know. I had to look for it, and fortunately I had a backstage pass, so I could find it somewhere. But that's my point, okay? Speak to your personality. If you're quiet, have a quiet stage presence. If you're bouncy, bounce it. And here's my next point with that. You need to exaggerate whatever you are. Because if I actually stood here how I normally am, it would actually be quite boring. But I know that I can push my personality, so I become a little bit more extravagant. So you push it out. All right, David, can I tell a story about you? Oh, yeah, and he's got earphones on, so I can tell him a story. So, you know, just say yes.
Yeah.
So, I know David won't mind that because, you know about the journey we're on with the Institute. So the first video David recorded for the Institute, we said to him, you need to be exaggerating your personality. Now, David's fun, isn't he, and all the rest of it. But he literally stood in this video, and it was so boring, and it was like a deer in the headlights. But he thought it was good, right? And we're going, needs more. And now, when David does a video, he's much better at portraying his personality. Video, if you're being videoed, it's even more exaggerated. So if you would normally do this, then you do this. Okay? And if you do this, then you do this! Alright? So it's even more exaggerated on a video. Okay, are we going good? Yeah. Turn to the person next to you and tell them one thing you got out of this so far.
Sorry.
training technique of cementing what I'm saying to you, and also giving you a break because I'm just pounding information at you. All right? So now I've cemented it, got your attention again, we're going to keep going. Are you ready?
Yes. Sure. Yes.
Okay, see, now I've got your permission to continue as well. And if you have a group, I don't care if I've got 300 people, I'll make them talk to me. All right? Because that's my personality. All right? But if it's not yours, don't do it. That's fine. All right, here's the next thing. People speak for three reasons. This is really important. The first thing is greed. They're greedy. So they want something over and over. So they'll sell from the stage over and over and over again because they want money. Right? The second thing is ego. They want to the buzz and the high of speaking from the stage. And you'll see this. There are some speakers in Australia and around the world who just are so hell-bent. Oh, no, I'm not going to use those words. I just did. But they're so intent on their ego trip and the high that they get from being on a stage and what it gives them that they actually have broken up their families and all this sort of stuff. There's a speaker in Australia who, if I told you his name, you would all know him. But his family's an absolute mess because that person is on the stage something like 250 days a year. That's ego, all right?
Or the adrenaline rush.
Yeah, the adrenaline rush. It is, but that's ego. Yeah, it's they become addicted to it, all right? But the third reason is gratitude. And it's being thankful and being able to share and wanting to share what it is that you have. And that's the best place to speak from because you have no agenda. As in, you're not there to have an ego trip or whatever. It's not about you. It's simply about how can I help these people. How can I show them that what I have is significant? And that's where you need to come from, okay? Which brings me to my next point, which is you need to speak from the heart. Always speak from the heart. Always speak from the heart. Okay. It's about them, by the way. It's never about you. So I can stand here and I can make it about me or I can make it about you. This is about you. This is about helping you to become better presenters so that you can build your businesses better. Okay? And that's my last point on this section, is that you need to be very, very clear before you speak as to what your intention is. So what is your goal for that talk? So is your goal to practice your speaking? Is your goal to practice a specific portion of your speaking? And of course, you guys might not have that luxury, but I have that luxury because I speak so often, all right? So is it about learning how to sell? Is it about honing a particular technique? Is it about focusing on some particular type of thing that you want to do? Like you might want to improve your entrances, for example. Is it about getting clients? Is it about selling? Is it about? What is it? So be really clear on that before you even write your talk. Okay? That's very, very important. Now, leading into the next part of this, which is how to put together a talk, there's something I want to tell you. Remember I said to you that you've got a few seconds to make an impression with people, okay? So how you enter the stage, you've got to be confident. And the best way to enter stage is down at the side of a room and look at the audience. Okay, you don't have to be fake, all right? But you've got to, that's the best way to do it because you connect with them and you go right around the room, okay? And you smile. And then you stand. If you've been introduced, thank the introducer and then start. Okay? Alright, here's the thing. Here's the big kicker. You will probably think that everything you say matters and you'll put everything into a particular order and you know you'll be specific about this and this and this. And let me tell you that the words do matter. But what people remember afterwards are not your words. They remember this. They remember how much you care for them. And more importantly, they actually remember whether they liked you or not. And so your words are actually quite irrelevant to your talk unless you can engage them. So body language is 70% of your talk. Body language is 70% of your talk. You can lose them by slouching. You can lose them by the way you speak. You can lose them by doing this. How many of you have ever gone to a talk where the person stood at a lectern and just read the notes and it's been like in a monotone? How much do you remember about that? You don't remember the words, do you? That's my point. So you need to think about what you have remembered and what has impacted you, and then you put that into how you present. Okay? So if that style has bored you to the point where you're sleeping under the table, don't do it. Don't do it. Okay? There are two ways you can speak. You can speak freestyle, which is what I do, which is really annoying sometimes to organise it because they never know what's going to come out of my mouth. And a person who wanted, in the States, they have these big conventions, and like, for example, an insurance convention, and they will book their speakers, and those speakers have to write their talks word for word, and they might be given 20 minutes, they've got to be exactly 20 minutes. Then they're sent in to a committee, the committee approves the speech, then the speaker has to actually go in and present that talk, and they're critiqued on it and told to change it, and then they come back and they present it to, like, you know, 10,000 people with a teleprompter in front of them. Could you imagine me doing that?
No.
No. So I'm not interested in those talks. I don't want to be that constrained, because I can't. For me, I would lose my heart. But some people can speak really well like that and still have heart, okay? Because that's their gifting, it's not mine. So I don't do it, okay? But if you want a freelance speaker who will actually listen to what you want, tell you what I'm going to do, but then give it some fun, that's me. I'm the person that they book, all right? So the body language is 70% of your talk. So you can dwell on your words as much as you like, but at the end of the day, if your body language doesn't reflect it or it's incongruent to what you're saying, then they're not going to even remember what you say. Which is why I've spent 70% of this talk actually telling you about how to present, and now I'm going to spend the remaining very small amount of time, probably about 30%, telling you how to actually put a talk together. Would you like to know how to put a talk together?
Yes.
Okay, so there's actually two ways to put a talk together, but I will give you the first one, but I'm not going to talk about it because for the purposes of your presentations, you probably won't ever use this. So the first one is in three parts, and it's really simple. It's an intro where you tell them what you're going to tell them. And this is probably more one of those talks that I wouldn't do, but going to tell them. But having said that, this is also a really good training formula. So if we're training, we'll tell you what we're going to do, then we'll do it, and then we'll tell you what we've done. And one of the ways we do that is we'll just say, okay, in this segment I introduced it and I said, I'm going to talk to you about how to do presentations, right? That was my intro, about 2 seconds flat. And then I'm telling you how to do it, and at the end, if we have time, I'll cement it by doing, so the body of your talk is you tell them, so you actually tell them what you want to tell them, and then the conclusion is you tell them what you told them. Because you see, it takes people at least three times to hear something before it starts to sink in. Which is why we keep repeating things to you about how to get clients, how to sell, how to run the processes. We just keep going over and over because we know you're going to miss parts of it. That's just human nature. It's normal because you take out of it what you need at the time. And then when you get to the next point, it's like, you don't remember that because it wasn't relevant to you at the time. So we keep telling you, okay? So at the end of this, we'll do something like turn to the person next to you and tell them what you've told them, what you've learned, or what was your big takeaway, or whatever. Because that is one of the ways that we can actually get you to repeat what we told you and sink it in your mind. Okay? Right, so can I rub that off now? Okay, so for your presentation, this is what you need to do. So for your presentations, see, I actually wrote notes on this so that I can make it quick. Do you know, it's far easier to do a long talk than a short talk. Okay, so if your short talk is really short, you need to be really on it and you're just highlighting. Whereas if it's long, you can fluff it out. So, here's the thing. We have a right brain and a left brain. So no matter what type of talk you're doing, this is really important. Your right brain I'll start with your left. It does facts and info, and your right brain does feelings and thoughts. most of us are probably more one way than the other. So if I want to appeal as a presenter to all of you, I need to move from a right brain to a left brain, from a right brain to a left brain. And the way you do this is you give the facts, so you go left, so you give the left, sorry, give the fact, and then you go to the right brain and you tell a story. Now I've done that several times already. Okay, I've given you information and then I've gone, I'm going to tell you a story. What was one of the stories I told you?
Adelaide.
Okay, what was the story? Being stressed. Alright, what was my point?
Give yourself time.
Give yourself time. So my fact was give yourself time. My story was this is what happened to me and how stressful it is. And I'm an experienced speaker. Right, okay, what was another story I told you?
The quiet lady in the chair. The quiet lady.
The quiet lady in the chair. What was my point?
Everybody has their own personality.
Okay, so I gave you a fact, then I gave you an illustration. All right? So when you're doing your presentation, the best way to keep people engaged, everybody loves a story. Everybody loves a story. I don't care how old you are, you love a story. Am I right? Or am I right? Come on, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, right, so I just got you to engage with me again. Okay? I can feel your energy going down a bit because we're getting further into this. Now, most people only have an attention span of 30 to 35 minutes. We're getting past that, and I can feel your energy going down. So now I'm lifting the energy of the room by being more energetic, and I'm also getting you more involved, all right? Because I want to keep you awake, so to speak. And that's another thing that you need to do. That's just a bonus, all right? That wasn't in my notes. So now I want to tell more stories. So if your presentation is longer, you've got to break it in some way in the middle. So you get them to turn to the person next to them, tell them what they've talked, or you get them up and stretch or whatever. That's another one. Okay, so we go fact story, fact story. So this is roughly, approximately, how you would do yours. So you would start, the first probably quarter of your talk is your story. Now, if you don't have a story yet, you need to use David's. So let's talk specifically about spending plans. And there's lots of ways to start a talk. But here's some really quick ones for you guys, all right? So if I was you and I was doing a talk about, getting people to refer to me and I'm in a room of mortgage brokers or accountants or whatever, or a networking group, I would start with a story and I would say something like, statistically in Australia and around the world, the reason behind most divorces is what? And they're, exactly, see, you just did it for me, okay? That's exactly right, it's money. So I want to tell you today a little bit about my story with money and how I can help you help others so that we can actually overcome some of the problems with money in this world. Does that sound like a great idea? Everybody goes?
Yes.
Okay, right, there's your start. So you can do whatever you like. So you can start with a statistic. You can start with a really bad story. You know, 10 years ago, I was on the seat of my pants. And when I say the seat of my pants, I actually didn't have a seat of my pants because I've worn through it because I was wearing it every single day. Have I got your attention? Have I got your attention?
Yes.
Okay. So if you have a story to tell, then you need to tell a story, but a stat is also, a statistic is a good way. Now look, there's lots of ways that you can start. You can start with a poem, you can start with something you've seen on the radio or heard on the radio. When I was talking in poverty a number of years ago, unemployment rates went up high. Do you remember that? For a period of time? Yes, everybody say yes.
Yes.
Okay, everybody stand up. Shake. Come on. All right, sit back down again. Why did I do that?
Energy.
Okay, so now I'm going to tell you a story. Do you see what I'm doing? So now I'm training you, but I'm also doing it for you. So I've given you something, a fact, and now I'm talking to you about how to start, and now I'm going to tell you a story. So I would use, I found a newspaper one morning and it says unemployment's rising and all the rest of it. Now you might think, how on earth does that relate to property? Well, it relates to property, and I can turn anything into how it relates to property because I'm good at storytelling. And I don't say that bragging, I just know how to tell a story. So, you know, I would stand up in front of people with that and I'd say, did you see the newspaper today? And they'd all go, yes or no? And I'd go, well, let me tell you about it. And sometimes I'd take it in and I'd say, you know, unemployment is rising. What does that mean for us as property investors? And off I'd go, and I'd be into my job, okay? But the best way to start a story, particularly if you're doing a short presentation, is with your story. And if you don't have a story, like I said, use David. So start with some statement and then just go into the story. Now, that story can be 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 20 minutes, and you need to have all those versions according to how long you're going to speak. And your story needs to set up the group for what it is that you want to do with them next, okay? So if you're talking to people about being a spending planner and you're David Wright, you would say, years ago, I was a single income earner with a wife and three kids dependent on me. I was a school. Do you see? Now you all know David's story. This is why we keep saying you know David's story. So if you're presenting, you can say, I'd like to tell you about somebody. And you tell his story. And then you say, at the end of it, that was David Wright. He's the founder of the Spending Planners Institute. Now, David has this thriving business and blah, blah, blah. So you take them through, and what you do is you need to identify their pain. So if you're talking to a mortgage broker, you need to identify the pain of their clients or the pain of the mortgage broker. And your story needs to actually contain that pain. Right? So if I was talking to a mortgage broker and I was a spending planner, I would tell a story about, that was my story, about how I was, you know, bought into this business or whatever, and I would be hitting my pain points that would be their pain points. So you could say, for example, if you were a business owner, and I'm making these up on the fly, okay? If you're a business owner, or have been in the past, you could say, you know, I was a business owner just like yourself, and I knew that there was more I could be doing. I was frustrated because, you know, my clients weren't staying with me. I wasn't earning enough money. I felt like I just had a job. I was scraping the bottom of the barrel. My staff were getting paid better than I was. These are all pain points, right? Okay? So then you could say, but then I discovered the spending planner business. And now, then you go into whatever it is that you got out of. All right? So that's what you do with the story, the statistic. The next half of it. So we're up to, by the end of this, you should be at 3/4. Is you actually address their pain. And you know that James and Tony have taught you to go through a process when you're actually sitting with a client and signing them up, correct?
Yes.
Right? Tony went through it with you again yesterday, right? Am I right?
Yes.
Right, so you all know that. You're actually going to follow that exact process through here. So telling your story is what?
Small talk.
Small talk. Chit chat. Okay? But what happens is because they're not giving you feedback and answering questions, you actually have to feed that in yourself. And the whole time, you should be going through fact, story, fact, story, fact, story. So if you know what the top three pain points are of the person that you're speaking to or the group that you're speaking to, you have 3 points. That's all you need, 3 points. And the first one is, do you have a problem keeping your clients? Right, if you know that's a problem for them, don't even ask them. You say, right, I'm going to give you 3 points on ways that I can help you expand your business. Point number one, I want to talk to you about expanding your client base and keeping your clients. Is that a problem that you have? Because you already know that you've got it, because you should have done the research. And then you talk about what that is. Now, here's the thing. When we've taught you about sales, we've said to you, don't be afraid to go into the pain. Tony said to you, she screwed up that call because she flipped it, right? She didn't go deep enough. You have to go deep. And when you're presenting, you have to do exactly the same thing. You've got to go deep. You have to push their points. And it's better to go too far than not far enough. Because if you go not far enough, you are going to what?
Lose
it. If you go too far, you're going to what?
Win.
You will probably win. You may lose. But it's better than losing completely, okay? So it's better to go too far. But you never ever leave people on pain, ever. You have to have the solution. So then you provide a solution. So the spending plan is a great opportunity for your clients because it will do this, 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 and this, and that will mean that they stay with you longer. They're going to actually come back to you if you're a mortgage broker because you can keep them on a spending plan and then when they actually have enough money, they can get a mortgage and that helps your business. And not only that, you earn money from it. So they might be your point. So you have one, two, 3 points. Okay, if you've got a really long talk, you can go 5, 7, 9. Here's the other thing. I always have a number of points, but I can leave them out if I need to in the interest of time. All right? So I might look at you guys, which I'm doing, and I know you're flagging, so we're going to have one in 10 in a moment. But what I'm doing is I'm reading the room, and I'm spreading some points out a little longer, and I'm cutting out or being very concise with others. You're funny. All right, the last bit is your quarter. In your quarter, you give them the solution, and this is actually your offer for you guys, okay? And this is where you ask them, would you like me to make you an offer? Get permission. And they'll all go, all right, guys, would you like me to make you an offer?
Yes.
Would you? What would you like that offer to be?
Morning tea.
Okay. Would you like me to make you an offer?
Yes.
Okay. And then you go into your offer, all right? And you present your offer. You know how when Tony signed you up, she presented the offer as, you know, this is the price for your training, but if you, we're looking for decision makers, and if you sign up with me today, then that could be your offer, that I'm going to give your clients a discount, or I'm going to do you for free so that you know what the experience is, or whatever your offer is, okay? But, you know, your offer could be as simple as, sometimes I've just gone into to talks, and I have not been allowed to sell. But here's how I get around it, right? I pretty much always end a talk like that on giving, because that's one of my, that's one of the things I'm known for talking about, philanthropy and giving, right? So I always have a giving point. How are you successful in property? Well, here's my last point. Successful property investors are people who give. And I go into my little giving point, right? And then I finish by saying, would you allow me to give you something? Now who's going to say no to that, right? Would you allow me to give you something? Okay, well here's the deal. I want to be really upfront with you. This is how I finish. I want to be really, really upfront with you. You will need to agree to go on my database for me to do this because I'm going to deliver it to you online. If you're okay with that, that's fine. If you're not, that's fine too. I don't mind. But I'd like to give you a gift. I'm really, really grateful for what you've done and that you paid attention today. And I want to give you something that will help you become a better property investor or better mindset person or whatever it is that you're spruiking. And so therefore, if you fill out the forms that are being handed out now, I will actually email you a chapter from my best-selling book, which I wrote with Brian Tracy, which by the way I did, Cracking the Success Code, and my chapter's called Success Secrets, the 7 Secrets of Success, or something like that. I can never remember the name of it, because I don't use it very often anymore. So if you'd like that, and you know what, I might throw in a few other things as well, but if you'd like that gift, then please fill in the form and head it to. Now, my success rate with that is about 98% of every room. Okay? But I've not sold them anything. But I have, because now I can have a conversation with them down the track. So if that's all you do, just get them to write their name down in return for something. Okay? In return for something. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes my talk. I do not want to be over time, and Daryl's standing up there holding my over by 10 minutes as a joke. But because I need to cement this with you, please turn to the person next to you and tell them what you learned. Go. Stories, even if you don't remember the point. Okay, one. One more. Up the back.
Fact story.
Excellent. All right, you are released for morning tea. Thank you very much.